If you're someone who's looking for methods of improving your health, your self-care, and helping others, today's episode on spiritual healing is for you. Hello, welcome to the Molly Larkin Show, the podcast dedicated to helping you live your best life. I'm Molly Larkin. I've been a student of personal growth since the age of 7. What makes us inspired? How can we become more connected to the natural world around us? Let's find out. My guest today is a friend and colleague, David Karg, who's a spiritual healing practitioner and a trainer, or tutor as it's called in England, for England's The Healing Trust. Welcome, David.
Thank you, Molly. Nice to be here.
So my first question, David, is please tell us, what is spiritual healing?
Okay, well, either the long definition or the short one, but let's start with the short. Energy healing, spiritual healing, it's really the act of restoring the balance of the body, the mind, the spirit of the patient. It's their whole being. And this is natural. It's non-invasive, and it's holistic, meaning it has the intention of promoting self-healing on all levels of the body, mind, and spirit, and to bring a sense of well-being and peace to the patient. That's the short definition,
well,
if you will.
That's an excellent definition, and it reminds me that the Native American definition of medicine, the short version, is anything that helps people, but it's also anything that heals body, mind, and spirit. So obviously that's what your spiritual healing work does, too.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So tell me about the Healing Trust. What's the history of it? How did it come into being?
Okay, it's very interesting. I think you mentioned that the Healing Trust is headquartered in the United Kingdom. And it was actually founded, it was started by a very famous healer named Harry Edwards. And he actually started it was called the NFSH, the National Federation of Spiritual Healers. He started that in 1955. And he was so popular back then. He was very high profile. He was doing demonstrations for like 6,000 people in the Royal Albert Hall. People were just flocking in to see this very, very famous healer because he was having such profound results. And it was just absolutely amazing. And as a result of his popularity, he was able to get this work eventually certified and accepted by the National Health System in England. So it's like our Medicare saying, okay, you want to go to a spiritual healer? Then we cover that. Well, they do that in England. And the Healing Trust, it's called the National Federation of Spiritual Healers-The Healing Trust. The Department of Health and Complementary and Natural Healthcare Council license certain organizations that they feel are reputable and do wonderful work and should be compensated by their national healthcare system. So I'm proud to say that the definition for that is the CNHC does recognize the Healing Trust, and therefore the work is handled and covered by the government. So I think that's fantastic.
That's very impressive.
I want to say one other thing about Harry Edwards. Such a powerful gentleman. I mean, he started in 1935, and he was told that he had healing powers. And so for the next 40 years, he did healing work, and it was absolutely amazing. But he was so well thought of that he was able You know, you have to understand that the health organizations and the regular allopathic medical community certainly is very, very guarded as far as ever giving any of their power or to another organization or allowing another organization to come into their territory, so to speak. But, you know, Harry used the approach that, look, and he's talking to the doctors, he's talking to the established medical community. He says, you know, this modality, we're not here to replace you. We want to be complementary to your work. And use the example, if you break a bone, you're going to go to the doctor and have it set. But if you want it to heal faster, then we're there to help.
Right.
Which I thought was brilliant. So that healers are in the hospitals in England, and that's the goal we're working towards in the United States, to have the same level of acceptance. We are beginning to get some exposure in the medical community, but our goal is to actually have healers in all the hospitals, spiritual healers in all the hospitals. So that's our goal at this point.
That's an excellent goal. I also heard about Harry Edwards that he had written, before he got acceptance by the National Health Service, he wrote to many hospitals in England asking if they would let spiritual healers come in and work. And a whole bunch of them said yes. And when the National Health Service found out, they said, wait a minute, what is this? And they sat down and had a meeting with him. And I would love to have been a fly on the wall, because by the time it was over, they completely accepted the spiritual healing as taught by Harry Edwards.
Right, and I have a feeling that that meeting went along some of the lines I just discussed, because I think his approach was, I am not a threat to the established medical community. Right. I'm not alternative. I'm complementary. I think that's how he sold.
Yeah, well,
that's my opinion.
Yes, and he may also have given a healing demonstration. So,
well, but he was so well known. I mean, it was so documented.
Yes. How did you personally get interested in healing?
Well, when I retired from my quote regular job, I had an intention of going back to school. I really wanted to take some college courses. My job was, it was an exciting job. I was a manufacturer's rep in the home furnishings industry, but it wasn't totally mentally stimulating, if you will. And although I enjoyed it, I wanted some more education. And so my goal when I retired was to go back to school. Well, take some college courses. Well, at the same time, since I had time, more time now, I was becoming involved in a local church here called Unity. It's part of the Unity movement, which is more of a New Thought metaphysical organization. And so, but I found out they offered classes and in different things, and I started to take some of their classes. And actually, I ended up taking 250 hours of classes, becoming certified to be a licensed Unity teacher. Well, so with all this knowledge, and you have to understand that Unity was started as a healing ministry. The co-founder, Myrtle Fillmore, she and her husband, Charles, started this this organization, this movement, they called it back then. And so she, over a period of, it took her 2 years, but she healed herself of tuberculosis. Now, this is in the late 1800s when tuberculosis was definitely a death sentence. No one really survived it. She was able to heal herself through the application of spiritual principles, energy healing, and obviously after that she had many, many followers, and she passed this method on to others. So I really got interested in taking the classes and understanding more about this healing work. So then I just really became wrapped up in it and decided. And then I met healers and different healing classes. Actually, this work was taught at Unity at one point, and I initially took a class there, and I was, as they say, hooked thereafter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's how it all came about.
Mm-hmm. Very good. You just, in talking about Myrtle Fillmore, you just used two terms, healing and cure. Is there a difference?
Oh, thank you so much, Molly, for asking. There's a huge difference. And I think any discussion on healing, on spiritual healing, energy healing, really needs to address the difference. And so most people use the term interchangeably. However, there is a big difference. And number one, let's discuss what a cure is. So let's say you go to the doctor and your symptoms are high blood pressure. And the doctor might suggest, well, take a little medication or maybe a diet change. But primarily, he's going to prescribe a medication. And he says, just take this little white pill and it's going to lower your blood pressure. And in fact, it does. It does reduce the blood pressure. And so here's the thing. It reduces or takes away the symptoms. So although it reduces the symptoms, what happens when you stop taking the pill? The blood pressure comes back.
Right.
The blood pressure increases after you discontinue the use of the pill. So that, in fact, the pill is taking away the symptoms. It is not addressing the cause.
Right.
In this case, let's say the cause is stress. So the pill is only addressing the symptoms. So that's why we say it's a cure, because it takes away the symptoms. So actually, the definition of to cure is a relief or recovery from disease. It's to free from something objectionable or harmful. But you notice in that definition, there's nothing about cause. So what healing means is addressing the cause,
right.
Eliminating the cause. So we've just said the cause in this case is stress. So let's say as a spiritual healer, we're going to go in and we're going to, let's say that the energy of stress might be held on the emotional level. And we don't even really know where it needs to be held because the energy, the healing energy itself, the divine healing energy, is intelligent. It knows exactly what to do. But as we're channeling that energy, it is working on that emotional body and reducing the stress, which will eventually equate in the body as less stress, less dysfunction, and therefore the blood pressure will be normalized. So we're talking about addressing healing. That's why we call it spiritual healing. We don't call it spiritual curing.
Right, yeah.
Because it is healing, because we're addressing the cause.
Right. Yeah. That's good.
So huge difference. Yeah, huge difference.
There used to be a term thrown around a lot, psychosomatic, implying that an illness is in the patient's head and not real. Now, today, we know there's a huge mental or psychological aspect to illness and health as well. Can you address that, please?
Yes, this is another huge subject. The psychosomatic, the mind, and the effect on the body. Now, what's interesting is there's a lot of science around this. And I think we've all heard of the placebo effect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, someone is given a sugar pill, but they think it's the real thing, and it's the latest and greatest, and it's going to cure them. And in fact, their symptoms go away, and they feel a lot better. But in fact, it's just a sugar pill or a salt injection. So it's not, in fact, a medication. So what is causing this change in the body? It's the mind expressing, it's the consciousness, it's the mind of the person, and it's the effect it has on their body. So let me give you a little science behind this, which I think is, like I just said earlier, that more and more research is being done on this, and a real breakthrough, one of the first real breakthroughs for the public's knowledge was Deepak Chopra in 1989. He published a book called Quantum Healing. And what this book addressed was the tremendous connection between the mind and the body, that is, the health or the dysfunction of the body, the effect that the mind had on the body. And then Bruce Lipton in 2005 wrote a book called The Biology of Belief.
Right.
And he actually proves that every cell in our body has a consciousness.
Whew, that's fascinating.
In other words, these cells are talking to each other. So it's estimated we have 60 trillion cells in the body. Well, if they're all communicating with each other and they all have a consciousness, then what science is proving, and quantum physics, there's plenty of experiments in quantum physics that's also proved this, is that our consciousness, through our actions, our thoughts, our deeds, are impacting the consciousness at the cellular level. And you have 16 trillion of these little guys talking to each other. And if the patient's telling them, I know I'm going to get well, mm-hmm. I know I'm getting better, I have faith this is going to work, guess what? They're going to listen to that. And the consciousness of what we're putting out affects us physically.
Yeah.
It's absolutely amazing. And you have the reverse. Oh, I can't get well. I'll never heal. Well, that is, the reverse is going to happen. We're going to mentally, our consciousness is going to affect us physically. So this mind-body connection is absolutely huge. I can't speak of it enough. That's one thing what we stress in this healing.
Yes.
And we talk about.
You recently told me a wonderful story about how you talk to your cells, and I've started doing it. So I would like you to share with our audience how you talk to your cells to maintain your health.
It's funny. When I get up, one of the things I do in the morning is, I always try to connect. I meditate and I make this connection. But there again, I want to get, a sense of gratitude. You want to start off in a positive manner, and being positive and being open has a lot to do with this. So I like to start the day with, I have a little jingle. It's like, every little cell in my body is happy. Every little cell in my body is well.
I love it.
You do that a couple times, and seriously, it peps you up. And you come alive. And remember, all 16 trillion little guys are listening, and they're talking. So, yes, it works.
Excellent. Excellent.
It really does.
I really love that. And I've started doing it. It makes me feel really good. What responsibility does the healing practitioner have to their own self-healing?
Well, you're really asking some great questions, Molly. This is another huge one.
Yeah. You're
really hitting on some key points here. So what responsibility do we have as healers? First of all, the first responsibility we have, if we are going to be a spiritual healer, and spiritual healing involves channeling, it involves using this divine energy through our bodies, so that the first thing we need to do is we need to keep our bodies at the highest vibration in the best shape as possible. I mean, that's a big responsibility.
Yeah.
What we don't have, we can't give. It's the old adage.
Oh, so that's good, yeah.
We have to have the diet. We have to have the exercise. We have to have a positive attitude. We have to treat ourselves with kindness, because that makes us a better vessel. It makes us a better channel. And the higher our consciousness is, the better off we're going to be able to be that channel, to be that vessel through which the energy flows. So, yes, it's a huge responsibility. We have to keep ourselves tuned up. We heal ourselves first, and then we heal others.
Right.
So it's a big responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. So next question is, what responsibility does the client have in their healing process?
Oh, wow. Another great question, because they have a large responsibility. I think you probably had a hint of what I might say based on the mind-body connection.
Yes.
That we just talked about. One of the responsibilities they have is somebody walks into the spiritual healer, an energy healer, and says, prove it, or I don't think this will work. I mean, first of all, they have a responsibility if they're going to avail themselves of this modality to come forward in a positive manner, to come forward believing that this is possible for them as well. In other words, their mind must be positive.
Yeah.
They must want to, they must understand that in the end, all healing is self-healing. Because if you don't feel that you're going to be healed, guess what? Probably not.
Yeah.
Because you really have to accept this. I mean, you're accepting this divine energy, but you're saying, yes, heal. I am allowing this beautiful presence to come in because I want to be healthy and whole and happy.
Yeah.
And I accept this. But so the healer the person being healed has a responsibility to be that, okay, so we're a channel vessel. They have to be a receptive vessel.
Yes.
A positive receptive vessel. I mean, when you combine the two, you've got the synergistic effect, and you have beautiful healings occurring.
Right.
But both having responsibility, the healer and the healee, very important.
Yes, good. I think of healing as a process, not an event. I know that some of my clients come in and they sort of are hoping for a miracle cure in the first session. And although that can happen, most likely it takes a number of sessions to help a client. What is your take on that?
Yeah, one of the things on this kind of work, of course, what's hyped up are the one-time miracle that it happens in an instant. And yes, there are instances where a instant healing happens. But, this really, and I like you said, it's a process. We need to honor that process.
Yes.
Because we're healing on all levels of the body. There's much involved here as far as energetic change, energetic alteration. That needs time to filter through the energetic field, the energy field of the patient.
Yeah.
So typically, somebody comes in and, well, how many sessions am I going to need? And I say, look, this is a process. Typically, I will say, you should plan on 3 or 4 sessions. Let's see how it goes, maybe spaced over a period of 45, 60 days, depending on what the issue is.
Yeah.
But we need to realize it is a process. And between the time, we don't want to go bing, 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 sessions right in a row, because, again, it's a process. We want to give each session time to work.
Right.
Time for the body to accept that energy and do what it needs to do to further the healing. So it is a process.
Yes, yeah. Can you tell us, please, how the Healing Trust class program works? How many classes are there? Is there a certification program? Do you mentor your students?
Yeah, great question. Thank you. Thank you so much for asking, because, the Healing Trust, as you know, is accepted by the government. It has a very prestigious presence in the United Kingdom. And one of the reasons it has that is because of their commitment to quality, their commitment to training. This is a professional organization. And it, number one, in this organization is that anyone training, and my partner and I, Karen Coratelli Smith, we are healing partners, and we are both certified healers and certified tutors. As you said, in the United Kingdom, that's the term for instructors. So we instruct this work together. Well, the first thing we do when we have a class and we have our students, one of the first things we do is we let our students understand that the whole organization is based on a code of conduct. And it's a rather lengthy code, and it goes down in very much detail on the law, what we do as healers, how we treat patients, how we act, the interaction. I mean, it goes into much depth, and this needs to be studied very, very intently,
right,
in order to receive a certification from the Healing Trust. So, and there's over 60 hours of class training. There's actually four different classes. We're talking about 60 hours of actual class training. You must have at least 40 hours of healing work that is certified. In other words, Karen and I are mentors to our students. In other words, they come to us for questions. When they're doing healings, we sign off on the fact that, yes, they have actually a log book where they're logging all these healings in. They're logging all their classes in. We're there to help them. We're there to support each student one-on-one. And as a matter of fact, the requirement is we need at least six or more mentoring sessions of a couple hours each for our students. So they are totally guided along the way. So you've got the local mentors, and you have this beautiful organization, the Healing Trust, behind with phenomenal classes, with all the work outlined, and a code of conduct, which is just a really wonderful tool. And it leaves nothing to the imagination. In other words, when a certificate is handed to a student on graduation and passing their what we call panel, that's their certification to become a healer, which is another process where they actually have to demonstrate the knowledge of the code of conduct, they have to demonstrate the knowledge of the healing process, the healing act, we call it. But when they do that, they're ready.
Right.
They feel ready, and they know they're ready. So, yeah, and the other thing I wanted to mention is that Karen and I, for the past 7 years, we've been holding once a month. It might be interested to people that live in this area, which is Naples, Florida, but we hold a community healing session. We call it a community healing session once a month, usually on the last Friday, where we invite the public to come in for healings. And over the 7 years, we've had like 2,000 people.
Wow.
Yeah. And we've actually also worked with over 500 students learning the work.
Wow, that's
so
great.
Yeah, it's been exciting.
So
just to say, if a person shows you a Healing Trust card, you know they are well prepared for what they are going to do.
Right, right. So can anyone take your classes? What does it take to become, to go through your classes and become a healing practitioner?
What does it take? You know, anyone, I like to say, Karen and I like to say, anyone can do this work.
Right.
But it's the desire to do it.
Yeah.
Again, it's the mental aspect, just like the healer and the healee. You want to serve others. And here's the thing. To take our classes, people say, well, I'm not going to take that because I don't want to do this as a job or the profession. I'm going, no. You know, you don't take the classes. You don't have to have the goal of being a professional. Look at it this way. If you learn spiritual healing, who do you heal first?
Yourself. Yes.
Yes, and you got your family and your friends. I mean, so even if you never are going to do this work professionally, so to speak, what a wonderful thing. You have this beautiful modality to heal yourself, heal your family, and heal your friends. So, and if anyone can do this work, if they have an honest desire to serve, then I would highly recommend looking into the training. Uh-huh.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So people can get in touch with David by going to our website, nfsh-. thehealingtrusttrainingusa.org. And both myself and David, and as he mentioned, Karen Coratelli-Smith, are the tutors here in the United States for the organization, and you can find our contact information on there. David, is there anything else you'd like to share? Any last words?
Molly, one of the things that I'm really, really strong on, and throughout all the work, the training I've been through, the many, many hours in healing and understanding that this is a process of channeling the divine healing energy through one, I have begun to not only know, that is mentally know, but to feel, know in my entire being, the power that is within all of us. And I think I just want everyone to understand that within them is a huge, huge power, the power of their consciousness to create their reality. When you see what can be done through this work, what you can see, what can be done by someone's attitude, just changing their attitude, doing the happy talk. Every little cell in my body is happy.
Yes.
Doing this work, it affects, the consciousness is affecting the reality. People are looking for everything outside of themselves when in fact we already have it. This is the biggest thing this training has taught me, this beautiful modality, is that all we need, we already have.
Yes, yes.
We're looking for it in the wrong place.
Yep.
So I just leave everyone with the thought that, you know, it's not out there, it's in us. And through training like this, and through opening up and raising our consciousness, we can create the reality of our dreams.
That's fabulous, fabulous. Thank you so much.
Yes.
So David, and as he said, Karen, teach classes in the Naples, Florida area. I will be teaching classes in the New Mexico area, and we heartily encourage you to take a look at the website. Again, it's NFSH-thehealingtrusttrainingusa.org. Take a look at the curriculum and consider whether this might be an appropriate pursuit for you, because it's also great for self-healing.
Yeah, and I just thought of one other thing, Molly.
Okay.
This work, because people are listening all over, this work can be done distantly. In other words, this work, the channeling of the energy,
oh,
and
right,
beyond time and space. So
yeah.
I need to point out that I can do this across the street. I can do it across town, across state, across the world. So
yes,
distance
yes,
or is not an issue. So I just want everyone to realize it can be done on the phone.
Very, thank you for having that. Yeah, that's very important. Healing energy is not limited by time or space.
No.
So thank you so much, David, for this excellent,
yes,
interview. Very fascinating.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
Okay. Take care.
Okay.
That was spiritual healing practitioner David Karg from Naples, Florida. If you're interested in receiving a healing session from David or myself or our classes, check out our website, www.nfsh-thehealingtrusttrainingusa.org.